At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I was in Miami, and I remember saying verbatim, I know that if I was to die right now, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not living for Jesus, but I'm not ready to give my life to Christ yet. God has been trying to get my attention for the past 10 years. God was calling me to more, and that meant letting go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Save to Serve podcast. It has been a long time coming. Well, it hasn't been a long time coming, actually, but it is something that God put on my heart to start when I was going through a season of, should I just completely come off social media and live a peaceful life? That was something that I really wanted to do. But after much prayer and after, I guess, going through that process of denying myself and denying what I wanted and allowing God to speak into my life, this is where Save to Serve podcast was birthed, from a place of, I have a voice, I have a passion for Christ, and this is for every single believer, every single Christian, no matter if you have a platform, if you don't, if you are young, if you are old, God wants to use your voice. He wants to use your life. Your life is a testimony. Your life is what will bring other people to Christ. When you submit it unto His will, your life, your voice is what will bring people to God. And so I just want to encourage every single person out there to let God use you. Don't shy away, which is something that I almost did, but do not shy away and allow God to use you. Why I chose the name Saved to Serve. So that came from just understanding what Jesus Himself came to do. He came in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom to many. Ultimately, Jesus, being the King of Kings, being the Lord of Lords, He could have, if He wanted to, He could have made people bow down to Him and worship Him, but that is not what He was about. He was about serving people that needed help. He was about reaching the sick, reaching the poor, reaching the lost, reaching the heartbroken, reaching the broken. And through His servant, He restored them. He restored them back to health, back to life, back to truth. And He built them up. And ultimately, that is what we all must be doing as Christians. It's not about how can people serve us. It's not about what other people can do for us. It's actually, what can we do for others? How can we, with the knowledge that we have, with the relationship that we have with Christ, how can we make the world a better place? And it's by spreading truth and through serving in that truth, denying ourselves and serving. So that is where the name, and the inspiration came from. And also, this isn't, I just want everyone to, I know God has so much more in store for this. So this isn't just a podcast. I want you all, every single person that is watching, I want you to know that when you allow it to, our steps are ordered by God. And so this isn't an accident. You're all watching for a reason. I believe that everyone that is tuning in is going to be a part of this community that God wants to build for His glory. And I'm excited to see where this goes with you guys and how all of our lives are going to be impacted as we join together, as we meet, as we collaborate. And yeah, I'm just really excited for what the Lord is going to do with this podcast. So a bit of a backstory for myself. So if nobody knows who I am listening to this, I'm an influencer, I'm a mom of two, and I was a co-founder of a company called Nala's Baby. However, I felt as though God was calling me into something else with himself. He was calling me into a deeper relationship. He was calling me to deeper sacrifice. And that meant stepping away from the life that I had created for myself, that I found comfort in. And I found security in this life, and I found identity in this life. But God was calling me to more, and that meant letting go, ultimately. And I don't know. God hasn't given me a vision. He hasn't given me a dream of what the path ahead looks like for me. However, this season for me just looks like saying yes to God. It looks like forgetting the life that Sasha had in mind for herself and just allowing God to just rewrite the rest of my story. And it begins, or it's begun, one of the things that it's begun with is this podcast and speaking to you guys and connecting with you guys and getting to know you guys and just beginning this community. For as long as I can remember, I've always been in pursuit of something more than what I came from. So to me, that looked like children, it looked like family, it looked like success. And whilst these things are good in and of themselves, without Christ, we can't steward them correctly, or they can be something that can be a hindrance to where God wants to take us. And so for me, it was all about realigning myself with the will of God. And it's just meant allowing new chapters to be birthed, allowing new things to come out of my life. This is also something that didn't start now. God has been trying to get my attention for the past 10 years. And when I look back and I think, and that's a whole nother podcast story time for another day. But when I look back to when God was initially trying to get my attention to now, I just think it just reminds me of how patient he has been with me. He has been merciful. He's been patient. He has been loving enough to spare me my life until this point, until I actually said yes to him, until I actually allowed him to have control of my life, until I actually surrendered. And every time I look back and I think about that, it makes me so emotional, because it just makes me think, I've never known someone to be so patient, to be so tender, and to just be there with open arms, just waiting until I'm ready. And that is also another point, because a lot of us, we can go around and say, oh, when I'm ready, I'll give my life to Christ, and you know, when I'm older. And I don't want that to be, I don't want to make it seem as though we can say that to God, because we don't know how much time we have. And I just want to make it clear that God was gracious with me, that he allowed me to live to this point, until I could know him, until I would surrender, until I was secure in my salvation. But not everyone gets that opportunity. And so although he is graceful and he is patient, we shouldn't play with the time that we've been given. Because one thing I do now know, that is, time is so precious. It's so precious. It's a gift from him, and he wants to use all of our time. And if we give it to him, he will give us a life that is abundant. He has a plan. He has a future for every single person. Even if you are not a Christian, if you are not born again yet, he has a plan and he has a purpose and he has a future for you. And I promise you that future and that life that he has is so much more magical. It is so much more worth living than the life that we could create for ourselves. Another thing that God put onto my heart when starting this podcast, it was a reminder that there are so many people that want to hear the gospel. There's so many people that want to hear the truth. And there's so many voices out there where the message of Christ can get lost. There's people spreading false messages, false narratives, the false gospel. There's, you know, as much as Christ is out there and he's using people's lives, the enemy is also out there. And he is after your life. He's after your salvation. He is after your faith. And so one thing that God put on my heart with this podcast and just reminded me was Matthew 9, 37 to 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And that is him saying, there is people out there waiting to hear the gospel, waiting to hear the good news. They are searching. Like myself, I was searching, but I was searching in all the wrong places. I was searching in false religions. I was searching in horoscopes. I was searching in self-help books. I was searching in just everything other than Jesus. I was in fact, I was also searching in the Bible, hence why I'm, you know, here today, because I was searching there, but I was searching everywhere else. I was searching in crystals, in you name it, I was searching. There are plenty of people now that are searching. And this is why it's so important for those of us who know Christ to be that example, to be that voice to our family. You know, it doesn't just stop on or start on social media, because there's a whole life to be lived outside of social media. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, the people that we walk past in the street. Are we being examples of Christ to them? And that's something that we must remind ourselves, we must think about, and we must make sure that we are living it, because people need to hear the gospel. People want to hear the gospel. And the closer you get to the Lord, you develop this hunger inside of you for more of him, and then you develop his desires and you develop his heart. And what that does is it makes you feel the pain and the grief that God himself feels. It makes you want to be a voice to everyone. And so myself, I have done it when I have just gone crazy and said something radical, because I want people to know the truth. I want people to know the gospel. And there's so many false things out there. But that's what it does. And that's not to say that the way that I've gone about it in the past is the right way. But that is what happens. You develop this fire to just want to tell people about the good news. But we do have to be careful that the way that we share it is in a loving way. It's in a compassionate way. We have to remember how Jesus himself did it. And he led with love. He led with compassion. And I think that's the one thing that I have learned the most, that this is about, it's about compassion. It's about meeting people where they're at, because that's what he did with us. He met us on our level. He met me when I was going to clairvoyance and I was going to people that would speak to the dead. He met me in them places. He met me when I was searching in crystals and I was searching in the Quran and I was doing all of these things. He met me in those places and he didn't shame me. He didn't shame me. He didn't condemn me. Instead, he was patient. He was patient and he continued to bring people into my life that would speak a word over my life, into my life, that would speak truth to me. And I'm so grateful for every person that spoke truth at the time, even though it may have hurt, because that's what truth does. When you are living in sin, when you are living far from God, truth hurts, truth offends, and you don't want to believe it. But he was patient enough to continue giving me truth, even though I was rejecting him and turning away from him. But yeah, as I said,
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You grow closer to Christ. He begins to fine-tune us. He begins to work on, you know, that fire that's inside of us, the things that we might say out of context, the, you know, the times when we've said something and people haven't been able to see our heart in that moment. In those moments, you have to just bring yourself closer to God, press in to God even more, and allow Him to fine-tune you, allow Him to correct you, allow Him to redirect and to bring forth that compassion that He had for us. We have to give it to other people. And that is something that He has shown me so much. Okay, so one of the things, or the main thing that I wanted to start on and touch on, was what does it mean to be saved and to have found Jesus? So you might be watching this right now and you don't even know or understand the term saved. But you might be familiar with a lot of people saying they have found Jesus. And I wanted to talk through some of the things that I believe are fundamentals in beginning your relationship with Jesus, and some of the things that we must do to walk out our salvation and to make sure that we are headed on the path that Christ wants us to follow. Give a little bit of a backstory to where Christ found me, and I'm going to give my full testimony another time. However, and I've told this before, but when I was in Miami and I was on a girls' holiday, and we were all speaking about different things. Some of the girls, they were into crystals, and some of the girls were into like sage and other and those things. And I had came to a point where I knew that these things were demonic. I guess I'd rationalized things enough. I had taken in enough truth to understand that there was only one truth. And I remember saying verbatim that I know that if I was to die right now, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not living for Jesus, but I'm not ready to give my life to Christ yet. And the fact that I even said that, still to this day, it blows my mind that we can be so hard, like our hearts can be so hard to Christ and so hard to the truth, and we can be so self-righteous to think that we have a tomorrow, to think that we can say to God, I'm not ready right now. And it always blows my mind that I was in that space. It blows my mind because now I can't imagine being in that space and feeling that way, because a week later, I was on my living room floor giving my life to Christ, and I couldn't have predicted this. And mind you, I was in a place where I had the most money that I'd ever had in my bank account. I just got a brand new car. I was shopping in these designer places all the time. In terms of materials, I was in the best place that I'd ever been in my life. And I also recognized that I was very unhappy. But what materials can do and what those successes can do is blind you to how you're actually feeling. And that's what was going on with me. I was so blinded by how I was actually feeling. I felt as though I didn't have a way out, and giving up that life just didn't seem like an option at that point, because I was enjoying my sin. I was, even though I was broken in it, I was enjoying my sin. And that is always it's such a hard thing for me to look back on and to accept about myself, because God was there. He was waiting. He was being patient. He was being merciful. And He'd been drawing me in to Himself for a long time, a very long time. And to know that I was in that space and knowing God, knowing what I know of God now, just seems crazy to me. It seems like even that week that it took me, I in that hotel room, I said that, and it took me a week to give myself to God. knowing what I know now, the fact that I didn't fall down in that hotel room on my knees and beg for forgiveness, just it just blows my mind, because God is so good and he has done so much since then. And there's so much to say. Honestly, there is so much to say. There's so much to pour out. But, you know, I could be speaking for 10 hours. So you lot are just going to have to keep on coming back as God just unpicks my heart and just gives you what's on here, because there's just so much. God is just so good. He's done so much in my life and he wants to do so much in yours. And something, so a verse that really rings home for the way that I was living is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And that's just a reminder of these things can seem good. These things can give you temporary happiness, but its end is death. Its end, when we are not living a life submitted to God, when we are not living a life in relationship to God, it just ends in death. Because if we just think about when God first created the world, he made us and we were living in relationship with him, walking alongside him in close fellowship with the Lord. And then when the sin separated us, now we have to make a decision. Do we want to know God or do we not? But it's very self-righteous for us to think that if we live a life on this earth separated away from God, why would we be reunited with him in heaven? And that's something that I just want, if you are an unbeliever, if you are someone that's getting to know God for the first time, just think about that. If nothing else, just think about, why would God want to be in close relationship with me when he has given me this life on this earth to get to know him, to understand him, to feel his love, to feel his presence? And I've rejected him. I've pushed him away because I would rather work. I'd rather be in a relationship with a man that doesn't know God. I'd rather do things my own way. And so that verse to me just always reminds me that there is a way that seems right. There is a way that seems right to a man. But our heart, what seems right to us, the Bible also says that the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. And who can know it apart from God? And so even though something might seem right, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, that thing isn't right. No matter what feelings it gives you, because it's deceitful. Anyway, some of the things that I did from this point that I wanted to touch on from having that first encounter with God that helped me is attending church. Attending church for me was so important because I had no idea what church entails, and I'm going to touch on everything specifically. But I have 4 points, and that's attending church, someone from church becoming my friend, being discipled by someone from church. And I only would have met that person, I only would have grew in relationship with that person in church. I began to say yes to the things of God, and I read my word consistently. And so whilst these things, it wasn't perfect at first. Sometimes I would be missing church to go to work, or I'd be missing church to go to my partner's house. So many things. I would be missing church to do everything other than to be with God. And that's just how it was at the beginning of my walk. Sometimes I wouldn't pray. To be fair, I think for the first year, I didn't really know how to pray. So that was something that I had to learn that. And again, that was from being around people from church. So yeah, these were things that helped me in the beginning stages, that helped me to grow my faith, that helped me to learn about God himself, because I didn't really know much, even though I had been reading my Bible for, I'm going to say 6 years on and off. And it's not to say that I was reading it through and through, you know, it would just be certain parts that I would read and take pictures and, you know, God this, God loves me. Like, I was very unserious about the whole thing. I had to learn. I had to develop these habits, and I had to learn how to pray. I had to learn how to speak to God. I think when I first started praying, I would pray for like 20 seconds. Like, that's all I had in me. Like, I just, I didn't know what to say. But yeah, all these things were taught. So as I began to do these things, as I began to go to church, as I began to be around people, as I began to read my word consistently, that's when conviction grew in me. And when conviction started to grow in me, oh my God, that's when things really just started to change. That is when God, reading the Bible was like looking in the mirror. And looking in a mirror to my soul, like I could see the imperfections of my ways, the imperfections of my life. I could see the dirt in my life, the errors in my ways. And that was a hard thing to accept at first. It's very hard to be living a certain way and to then be challenged by it and to be told what you're doing is wrong, how you're living is wrong. There's another way of life. And it's very hard to just stop doing the things that you are doing. And it's very easy to turn away from that. But one thing I didn't do is I didn't run from God. Instead, I pressed into what God was trying to do into my life. And I was trying very hard to follow it. I was trying very hard to be a good Christian. And that was probably to my detriment, because for me, I felt as though I was trying to keep up appearances, but then I wasn't being fully honest with those around me who could help me. And I think that came from a place of being in the world and not trusting people. And there's so much that I had to learn. There's so much that I had to grow through. And I had to understand that these people that are in church, they have my best interests at heart. If I can trust anyone with anything that I'm about to say, anything that I'm going through, if there's any people that could help me with what I'm going through right now, it's them. But I didn't realize at the time that that's what the church was for. That came only afterwards, after understanding God for myself, after getting to know God for myself. I began to learn these things, and I'm so grateful that I pressed these things out and I carried on going. Because so many people run from God when they are convicted, when they are challenged, they run because it's the easiest thing to do. Being a Christian is not easy. And I know people can make it look just so easy and so simple and so fun. And whilst it is, and whilst being a Christian actually is the simpler life, I would say, and it is a fun life, what you have to go through when you first get saved, when you first come to Christ, and then even during, it's not easy, and you do have to build up some endurance to, you know, some difficult things in life, and to press through. You need discipline, you need obedience, you need these things. But I'm just so grateful that God allowed me to just see it through. He allowed me to mess up and keep on going. And that came through getting to know and understand God's character. I understood again that he is continuing to be patient with me. Even up to this point, he was continuing to be patient with me. He was continuing to allow me to make mistakes as he worked on me and he developed me, as he showed me his love. The mirror of God's word is to bring you closer to himself. So when he shows you the error in your ways, it's not to push you away, but it's so that you will run to him, into his arms, into the one that knows you, into the one that created you. It's so that you will come closer to him. And that is exactly.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
What happened with me? And then just a verse as well to encourage those who might be in that place of seeking God, but it seems hard. Psalm 103a is, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." And if there is one thing that I can utter, if there's one thing that I can say, is God's love is like no love that exists. There's no love that exists that is like God's love. There's no mercy that exists that is like his mercy. And so instead of running, draw closer. Draw closer. As you draw closer to him, he will draw closer to you. But yeah, I felt his mercy time and time again. I would fall and he would pick me back up. I would fall and I would condemn myself, but God would never condemn me. He would never condemn me. He would hit me with truth and I would get back up and I would turn 180 back to him. And that is what we have to do. That is, if we are going to walk this thing out, we need to stop expecting perfect. And I put it on myself when I first got to know God. And because I had to, you know, a lot of people, they get to know God and they do it in their own time, in their own comfort. But I got to know God and it was in front of 300 and something followers, 300 and something, 100,000 followers, you know, and it was with all eyes on me. And so when I messed up, that was public, you know, when I fell, that was public. And I had to deal with my growing in front of a crowd of many people. And you didn't see all the ways in which I would fall, but in some ways you did. And you know, that's, it's not the easiest thing to have to do that. But in one way, God has shown me, like, even though that may have been difficult, I know that God is using that and he has used that. And so many people have been encouraged by that, because we are going to fall. We are imperfect people. We will never be perfect, as much as we want to be, as much as we will strive to be. We will never be 100% perfect. And even the Bible tells us that we are to be perfect. So that is what we must constantly strive towards. We must strive towards perfection. And it is miraculous what God can do. It's miraculous how God can change someone completely, change their morals, their minds, the way that they look at people, the way that they look at themselves, and make us into this new mold, this new being, this new person. He can just take our heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. It is phenomenal how God can do this. But I really, as I said, I really do believe that me growing in front of so many people, it's, as much as it's been hard, it's also been a blessing at the same time, because I've seen people that have found encouragement knowing that they can fall and they can get back up and they can keep running the race, they can keep running towards God. And don't let no one shame you. Don't let no one shame you, because that is of the devil, it's of the enemy. God don't shame no one. He don't shame no one. He doesn't. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17. He did not send his son to condemn you. Condemnation. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. As long as you get back up, you have to be willing to get back up, dust off your clothes and go again. Even if it takes you 50 times of dropping and falling, get back up and go again. Because with some sins, with some things that we've struggled with some strongholds, it just takes 50 times. And just because one person might do it in a week and it's taken you 3 years, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that they're a better person than you. That is just your testimony. The next thing for me then was church. So being a part of a church has been nothing short of a blessing. And we have to remember, Jesus came to establish his church. In Matthew 16:18, it says, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So church isn't a man-made, I have a hair in my eye, I'm so sorry. But church isn't a man-made institution. It is something that Christ himself came to build. You know, we are called the body of Christ. And the beautiful thing about church is, if we just remember that church is just, it's just believers coming together to do life with one another, to live out faith with one another, to live it out. Because without being surrounded by other believers, trying to do this thing on your own, I'm going to say it's impossible. For some people, it may be possible. I'm going to say I could not do it if I didn't have other believers around me. If I was just alone in the world and I had no one to go to, and I was just surrounded by people from the world constantly, I don't think I would be able to walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. I just don't. I need that encouragement sometimes. Sometimes you might be struggling to pray. You need people where you can say, listen, I'm struggling to pray. Can you stand in the gap for me whilst I walk through this? There might be warfare. There might be, you know, people can just give you a word, a timely word, because everyone's so connected and in tune with the Spirit. And so the Spirit is speaking, and there's just so many things. There's so many blessings that come with being with the body, with being in you. Unity with the body. It's the church is that place in which you grow in holiness, in purity. I remember when I was going through something and my pastor and my pastor's wife just gave me such a timely word, and it was just about pursue holiness. Forget everything else. Pursue holiness, pursue purity. And that changed the course of my life for the past 12 months. Sometimes you need that word, you need that encouragement. And so, you know, there's people that will say they can do it without a church, and when I'm saying without a church, we're talking about, you know, the physical building here. Some people have a church, but they don't belong to a physical building, but they have fellow Christians around them. They have headship, they have covering over them. That's a different story. But I'm just talking about growing with other believers, allowing other believers to pour into you and pouring back into them eventually when the time is right. We need a church. It was in church where I was able to see healthy relationships. I'd never seen a healthy marriage outside of church. And what the world describes as healthy, I'd seen that. But to me, now knowing Christ and knowing what a Christ-centered, a kingdom marriage is, I've seen healthy, I only seen that by going to church. I was able to see healthy friendships. And again, what the world defines as a healthy friendship is not a healthy friendship. It was only coming to Christ. And thank Jesus that so many of my friends also came to Christ, and we have been able to reestablish our relationships. We have been able to build our relationships on his foundation, and my relationships with my friends is the healthiest it's ever been in my life. And with some of those friends, it's not that we ever had an unhealthy relationship, but it was a worldly relationship. And there is nothing like having friendship with those who know Christ, that understand the mission that you are on, and being able to support each other on that same mission. It is absolutely beautiful. It is sweet. It is nice. It is good. It is everything that God intended for it to be, you know. And so this is why you need the church, people. We need the church. The devil is a liar. We cannot do this alone. That's where he wants you. He wants you alone. He wants you outcast. He wants you going through struggles on your own. He wants you to go through everything by yourself. Because when you are segregated, what does the wolf do to the sheep that wanders off by himself? He attacks and he wins and he gets the victory because you are alone. You have no flock to guard you, to keep you warm, to pray over you, to cover you. You don't have it. So you need to be with other believers. And that is something that I wish I knew when God was trying to pull me at certain points. That is what I needed. I needed other believers, but I was trying to get to know God in my own way, by myself. And so I was prone to the attacks of the enemy. I was prone to him planting things in my mind. I was prone to that because I wasn't protected. I wasn't guarded. And so church is important. Church is very important. Church as well is that place where it cleans us up. When we first come out of the world, we are scruffy and we are dirty and we are rough around the edges, and church helps us. And we have to remember, Christ is coming back for his bride. He is coming back and he wants to find us spotless. He wants to find us faithful. He wants to find us prepared and he wants to find us ready. And it is in the church, it's around other people, that we are able to learn how to prepare. And as I said, I don't believe you can be in preparation. I don't think you can be prepared by yourself. We need other people around us. We need the unity of brothers and sisters. We do. We need the exampleship as I said, I'd never seen healthy relationships, a healthy person. I've never seen love. So, you know, just oozing out of people. Just love, love, love. I was uncomfortable with it at first. I'm not going to lie. I was uncomfortable because I was just like, what is this? Like, how are these people so nice? How are they so loving? And I really, it's the love of God that when you allow God to use you and you become that light, it is the love of God and you just feel it. Another thing is that friendship that we take, that discipleship. My first true Christian friend, she helped me through absolutely everything. Through her life alone, I was able to see what a healthy relationship looked like, a healthy marriage looked like. I was able to see what a godly mother looked like. How do you cover your kids in prayer? When you first come to Christ, it's like, what, praying for your kids? It's not a thing. I was able to, you know, how you pray for your kids, how you love people, how you're attentive, how you speak life into people. That I learned so, so much from her. Like, she has been such a huge blessing to my life. I'm so thankful for her life and thankful for all that God has done in her life. And I am so thankful that she allowed God to work in her life. I'm so thankful that she submitted to the will of God, because if she could have said no, she could have said, I don't want to submit to you, Lord. And I know that she's impacted so many people. God is using her powerfully today with her own ministry, with her husband. And so many lives have been impacted. And that's what it's about. We lay down our lives for others. And it comes back to that saved to serve. She laid down her life so that Christ could use it. And through her surrender and through her serving, I'm here today, able to take on what Christ showed her, and I'm able to pour that into other people. And that is what this is about. It's about laying down our lives and pouring into others, pouring into others. When the world tells us not to, when the world tells us, don't forgive them, they've done too much. No, we forgive. And we keep on serving and we keep on surrendering. And our flesh don't want to, because our pride and our ego tells us absolutely not. But it's so important that we do, because lives are impacted. Another mother needs you. Another mother needs to hear your story. Another mother needs to hear your love. Another young child, teenager that has just come out of an abusive relationship that she should never have been in, needs your submission to the Lord. She needs you to be submitted to the Lord. Her life is depending on your submission and your surrender to Jesus. We have to surrender. And it's not about ourselves. Christianity is not a selfish religion. It's not about what can God do for me. It's about what can we do for others? How can we make an impact in other people's lives? And if you are a Christian, if you think that you can just be blasé about your walk with God, please think again. Please think again. And I've been there. I have been there when I have just been blasé and I've just been, you know, just taking it in my stride and just taking my time with certain things and just, you know, when I'm ready. And don't get me wrong, that's the process. That is the process when we first get saved. But there comes a point where we have to stop drinking the milk and we have to eat the hard food. We have to eat the yam and the banana. Because people are dependent on us. You know, people are dependent on our submission. And so this is just to, again, encourage those of you that are already believers. Don't get comfortable. Don't get content. Because, again, in that area of comfortability, the life that we have made ourselves so comfortable in is a life that the enemy can come in. And just keep on pushing until you see breakthrough. Keep on pushing until you see results. And don't give up. Don't stop. Because the enemy is prowling around. He's not stopping. He's not giving up. Him and his little minions, they're not stopping. They're not waiting. They are waiting until we are comfortable. Until, you know, I'm okay, I'm saved. I can chill, I can put my feet up, I can, no. Whoever told you that that is Christianity lied to you. We have to keep on pressing, we have to keep on pushing. It is God's will that all be saved. And I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, not everyone's going to be saved. So that means there's work to do. That means we must keep on going. That means we must keep on pressing. It means we must keep on pushing. And so I just want to encourage you to just keep going, keep pressing in. That tiredness. A couple of months ago, I was going through fatigue, tiredness, tiredness. Saffron could tell you because she's sitting with me right now, but I was going through tiredness. I would be driving and I would feel like I am going to pass out on this motorway. I would try and pray and I couldn't pray because I was tired. I was tired and I had to pray that away, because that, to all that tiredness, it is a distraction from the enemy, and he doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to be present. You need to press through it. We have to pray through it. We have to press through it. We have to rest in God's word. And we have to keep going until we see breakthrough, because there's people out there, there's people that might be watching this that aren't saved. And I want you to know that God loves you so much, so much. And it is his will that you will come to know him, because that is a life that is so beautiful and so meaningful when you have Christ in it. The next thing, so one of the other things that helped me to be strong in the Lord is joining in with the things of God. And so that looked like saying yes to Bible studies and going to fellowships and being around other Christians. And I'm not gonna lie, when I first started to do these things, I would like, these people are weird. And that's me just being honest. I was like, these people are weird. I can't do this. This is too much. I feel too uncomfortable. And you know what that was? That was the nasty, dirty sin that was living inside of me that made me feel like I was better than whatever was going on here, because this was boring. That was the sin. And so it's so easy when we first come to church, like we don't feel like we relate to anyone. And one thing that God showed me is, when you feel familiar with the world, you're nowhere near him. If you feel familiar with the world, you're nowhere near. If you fit in with the world, you are nowhere near him. Because we cannot be friends with the world and friends with God. Because being friends with the world makes us an enemy of God. And so fitting in and finding familiarity with the world is not the place that God wants us to be in. And so when I would go to these fellowships and I would go to these Bible studies and I'd be like, oh no, this isn't for me. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel like I fit in. That's because I didn't. That's because I was nowhere near God at that point. But again, I persevered. I kept on going. I kept on pushing. I kept on attending. And with time, these people became my family. In no time, when you see again the love that they have for you, they want you to do well, they want you to keep pushing, you're learning things, they become your family, and you become familiar with the things of God, and it helps you. And if we look at the book of Acts and how they lived in community with one another. They were selling land and they were selling houses and they were feeding each other and they were raising each other's kids. They lived in unity. And that is how Christ wants us to live with one another. And so joining in the things of God, going to outreach, evangelizing with your church, learning these things, you're going to feel uncomfortable at first. That's inevitable, because you're stepping into a new territory. You're stepping into something that you may have never done before. And you might feel like, why would God want to use me? There's no interest in my life. There's nothing interesting's happened. But you have to remember, God made us all so specific and so unique. And God knew the life that we was going to come from before we came to him. And he knew that through our life, only through our life, could particular people be used and be saved. And he knew the people that we was going to impact with our life. So he made us all unique, skin color, race, background, culture, traditions. And these are things, even though as when we are believers, none of those things matter. That they all come after being a follower of Christ. But when it comes to reaching people, when Paul says, I become all things to all people, that they may be, that they may come to Christ, that I may win them. Something along those lines. But God uses our uniqueness. He uses our uniqueness. He uses our character. He uses our personality. You might be quiet. That's absolutely fine. God will use that. You might be loud. God will use that. You might be extremely talkative. God will use that. It doesn't matter what the world sees as great and amazing, and they might find a quiet person, a timid person, not so great and not so amazing, but God sees it as amazing. There is a quality, that is a quality that God can use to reach a select amount of people that not everyone can reach. And it's through your personal experience and through what you've encountered that is so powerful. Every single testimony is powerful in the kingdom of God. God can use it. You just have to be willing. You have to be willing to go and to be a voice and to speak into the lives of others. Back to how they lived in Acts. So they met in temples. They met in homes. They boldly preached Jesus. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they were living in faith, living under instruction of the Holy Spirit. And they were helping one another. They were connected. They were loving on one another. And that is what we must do. That's what it's about. It's about being connected, becoming a family. The Bible makes it very clear that our spiritual family becomes more important than our worldly family. Because it is the spiritual family that God is coming back for. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter whether you were given up as a child. You could have had parents that didn't raise you very well. They might have abandoned you. You might come from the best family ever, and you could have had a great upbringing. But when you come to Christ, that has to come second, and your spiritual family has to come first, because it's the spiritual family that goes out and impacts the rest of the world, that will go out and impact your family. They will see how people are with you. They will see how your spiritual family are with you, and that will impact them in ways that you don't even realize. So joining in the things of God, so important, so important. And even now for me, some things are still unfamiliar. I haven't gotten to that place where everything just feels so familiar and so relaxed and so comfortable, because we are humans at the end of the day and we have our differences. But one thing I know that I am going to keep on doing is keep on persevering, keep on pressing on, keep on doing the things that are required of me to hold on to this relationship with God, to get even deeper and closer with Him. Because there's levels that we can take our walk with Christ. And that's one thing that I've learned. There is serious levels. We go as deep as we want to. We can be as connected to Christ as we choose to be. And it just means surrendering more, dying to ourselves more, connecting with other believers more, doing the things of God more. And the more we connect with God, the more He will walk out our lives with us. To kind of conclude anyway, those are the things that have helped me on this walk, on this journey, because it's not an easy journey walking with Christ when the world tells you not to, when the world can be so appealing and come across as so fun, and you can feel like you're missing out. That first period of choosing God or choosing the world is not an easy thing to do, but it's made so much easier when you just do the things required. Attend church, be around believers, read your word, learn how to do the things of God and how to do them well. And rest on the promise that God has a plan and a future for your life, and you will get there. God has so much in store for you. He has so many great things ahead of you. don't let the world define what those things look like. Let God, because he is the one that stands on truth. He's the only way. There's only one truth. There's only one way. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And his tactics won't ever change. He will try and deter you away from God as much as he can. But I'm telling you today that God has so much planned for every single person. You just have to let him, and you have to trust him. And trusting him starts with getting to know him. So I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't been to church yet, go to church. If you haven't picked up your Bible in a while, pick it up every single day. Set a timer on your phone. Set a reminder. Do what you have to do. If you want a community, reach out to a local church. Reach out to a community on Instagram. Nowadays, there's so many communities. This is going to be a community. Reach out. Edify one another. Speak life into one another. And let's walk out our faith walk together. Anyway, I thank you all for watching. This is going to be a weekly thing. So I am going to see you guys this same time next week. I hope everyone has a blessed week, a great week. I hope everyone takes a step towards Jesus this week. God willing, this records perfectly and there's no issues with it. But we shall see. God bless you all, and I'll see you all soon.